Good day, everybody. I am here, Princeton Holt, again on my radio broadcast, and I have a very good friend of mine and that goes way back many, many, many years. In fact, way back in the day, we were really cut buddies. We were closer than Jonathan and David. And here he is today, Lenny Morton from Brooklyn, New York. Well, born and reared in Brooklyn, but you don't live in Brooklyn right now. Lenny, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. God is good.
Yeah, good. I want to welcome you to the show today, man. This is long overdue. I had mentioned having you on the show some time ago, but we finally hooked up together. Lenny, so you were born in Brooklyn, New York, am I right?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Now, let's talk. I mean, you don't have to worry about being formal or anything like that, but just you were born in Brooklyn, New York, and you and I lived on the same block for a while. That's the reason why we became such good friends. I lived at 271 Bridge Street, and you were 275 Bridge Street.
Correct.
Okay. Now, who lived in the building with you? The same building that you lived in?
I think the White family.
The White family.
Yeah, James and...
Nobby and Esther.
Nobby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Esther.
Now, was Bobby living in the building?
Right, Bobby also lived in that building. Right? He lived on the floor above me.
Okay. Now, who else? Did my Aunt Lily live there when you were there? Elaine and Aunt Lily?
I don't remember whether they were there or not.
Okay.
There were other people in the building. I don't.
You remember Lamont? Lamont and his sister lived on the top floor.
Yes, I do remember them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me, man, you had nine brothers and two sisters.
Yes, I did.
Tell me what it was like growing up a Morton back in those days.
Oh. Well, as far as I remember, I don't remember my older brothers having interaction with them too much. It was always the younger ones. I recall playing marbles with them in the kitchen because we had a railroad flat apartment.
Yeah. Now, explain what that means. What is a railroad flat apartment?
That's like a railroad flat. Was considered an apartment that ran straight through from front to back. There wasn't any side rooms, you know, like the way they built them now.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they have rooms to the right, to the left. This one was all room, one built one behind the other. And you had to walk through, let's say, the kitchen to get to the bedrooms or to the living room, you know, because... of the way it was structured, I guess, at that time, that was how they were built.
Yeah.
And I remember we used to stay as children in the kitchen a lot because we used to stay around my mom.
Yeah.
And she used to do a lot of cooking because of the fact that, we had a large family.
Yeah.
And I recall playing marbles a lot as a young kid around the refrigerator area.
Okay.
We all used to sit on the floor and just play marbles and laugh and joke and just have a good time. You know, kids would do.
Well, how many bedrooms did you have, Lenny? Because there were nine of you, two girls. How many bedrooms did you have?
I think there was about three bedrooms.
Okay.
In that apartment. But all nine children did not stay in the bedroom because the older brothers, they were in the armed forces, so they weren't living there. It was only the Eddie, myself, the three older brothers were not there at the time. They were in the service.
Okay, they were in the military. That was Eddie, BB, and Chummy?
It was Chummy, Harry, and BB.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, okay, so you don't remember too much about your childhood. I know that Bobby's apartment was similar to yours. When you walk into the door, you make a left-hand turn, and you went from one bedroom to the other, right through to the living room. All the way, living room was usually in the front of the house where the window was, and then to your right, there was a kitchen.
Kitchen, correct.
Yeah.
That
Now, I mean, I'm just saying this is because this is, I lived in a flat as well, man. I
was
had we had one no two bedrooms. There were five of us children, two bedrooms, one living room and a kitchen. And my sister stayed in one bedroom, my mom and dad stayed in another bedroom, and me and my brother slept in the living room, pull out couch. And we had to take a bath in the little tub near the sink. I don't know if, and we washed clothes in that same tub. I don't know if that was I don't know where you guys took a bath and stuff like that. But that's the way it was growing up in my, and I only lived two doors down from you. Yeah. Now I know that you guys moved to Carlton Avenue. I mean, your daddy. What kind of work did your father do? I mean, he was able to buy a house, man, back in those days. Of course, he had a large family, and the family was too large to stay where you're staying. So he bought a house on Carlton Avenue. Tell me, what kind of work did he do?
My father was, he worked, as far as I remember, in a garage up on what they call Brooklyn Heights. He had worked there for a while. And then he switched jobs. He got a job in the maintenance department at Brooklyn Borough Hall.
Okay. Okay.
I
Wow.
don't know who he got the job through or what the circumstances was as a result of him getting that job, but it was considered a civil service job.
Yeah,
They
okay.
call civil service in the city.
Yeah. Now your
And that's
mother. Yeah, go ahead.
where he worked for the balance of his life until he had retired. I guess from saving a few dollars from that particular job and borrowing a few dollars, he was able to purchase the house on Carlton Avenue because of the fact that the family was getting large or outgrew the apartment that he, and it was very hard to purchase apartments with such a large family, especially in that area.
Well, how
So,
how was it? How was it living there with your siblings in the house that you lived in?
oh yeah, it was much better than where we were at because everyone, the rooms were so large that we were able to put double beds, bunk beds that they used to call them, in each and every room and still have a lot of space around the bed to run and play and have fun.
Yeah, that's good, man.
And it was so spacious that all the kids had their own space.
Yeah. Well, I tell
So
you one thing, man.
was truly a blessing.
Yeah.
Plus we had a couple of bathrooms, so we didn't have to all share the same bathroom. So that
Yeah.
was a blessing
One of the things I
in
remember
itself.
very vividly, of course, when you moved from Bridge Street to Carlton Avenue, it was kind of
Yes.
like a pretty, good walk. We used to walk through the Fort Greene projects to get to your
Oh,
house.
yes.
I remember, man, and I have even mentioned that to you as we grew up and became adults, that I would come to your house sometime and your mother would cook fish. And I never knew anybody on the planet who made fish as good as your mom did, man. Well, it's so well seasoned, and the family was so large that I dare not ask your mother for no fish. She had nine kids and two girls. So what you would do is you would sneak me some fish, man, and I'd put it in my pocket with all the grease, with all the grease in it, man, and come on outside and eat that fish, boy. But I remember that so well. Now, Lenny, tell me, what was life like during that time? And talking about the era that you and I lived in, the music, the celebrities, the games that we used to play. What was it like during that era for you?
I do recall I remember on the block, we used to play stickball a lot on the block.
Absolutely.
And we used to play what they used to call stoop ball.
Stoop ball, that's
bounce
right.
Bounce the ball off the stoop, and we would try to catch it. We would make up teams, different teams, and whichever team would score the first 3 points or whatever it was, I don't remember the exact amount. But whoever scored the most points at that time would have been in the game. And then we used to have track. We used to run up and down the streets. I do remember that.
Yeah.
That's stands out in my mind. I remember on our block, I remember public school number 5 was across the street.
Yeah.
There was a little, I think it was a men's hotel or some type of a shelter hotel that was across the street from us, that we used to see the different, I would call them elderly citizen people, yeah, or the 60 people. They used to sit out in front of the building,
yeah,
and talk to us. So,
now you went to PS5, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But when I moved up to Cupnell, I had to change schools.
Okay. Now, were we involved in any activities in the park, McLaughlin Park, across the street from the house?
Yes, I do recall. We used to play a lot of basketball in the park. We used to play a lot of softball.
Yeah.
But I fell in love with it because it's two sports that kept us active, kept us in good shape. Met a lot of different friends, met a lot of people that we would not have interacted with normally if they weren't involved in sports. So by playing sports, it helped develop us and kept us out of trouble.
Now, Lenny, I tell you what, man, I wasn't a sportster at all, Doc. I used to sit on this sideline when the basketball was going on and baseball was going on. I was just not one that got involved in sports at all. Wasn't until high school that I ran track, but we're going to talk about your high school experience. But let me ask you, did you work with Louis up in Montague Street delivering papers? Were you one of those with us?
Yes, I did. I can't remember who got the job for us. Oh, I think it was Richard Rock.
Okay.
I think Richard Rock had introduced us to his brother team, was Louis, and I can't remember his name, but they owned, I think it was a luncheonette where they actually sold and distributed newspapers, especially on the weekend.
Yeah.
Because they had these big wagons that they used to sort out and mark all these different papers, the different newspapers that were out at the time. I think it was the Post and the Mirror.
And the Daily News.
The Daily News.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right.
We used to push these big heavy wagons up and down the streets and deliver to all of the hotels,
yeah,
and different homes up on the Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah, Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah, now, they called Brooklyn Heights.
Now, I used to go, I don't know, I do remember, I used to go up early in the morning, I don't know if you did, before we went to school. We would go up and deliver papers 6 o'clock in the morning. That was the early, yeah, morning. When we got out of school, we would go back up and deliver papers in the afternoon, 4 o'clock. Uh-huh. And as you stated, sometimes we would carry the papers under our arms. We knew how to fold them and throw them up on the stoop.
Yes.
You know, and then when we had a larger route, we would have wagons. And every time we would finish our route, Louis would send us across the street to the restaurant where we would have coffee and donut before going home and go to school. You remember that?
yes. Now it comes back. I was trying to remember the hotel that was across the street. I think it was the Pear Pond Hotel, or
yeah,
one of those hotels.
Yeah.
That was directly across the street from Louis' shop.
Yeah. Those were highlights in my life, man, because we, even though we were young, Lenny, you know, we had enough sense to work. And I'm going to tell you, during the wintertime, when it was snowing like cats and dogs, and it snowed back in those days, man.
Oh, yeah.
We would have to still go out and deliver those papers, man.
Yes.
You know?
That's true. And it wasn't paying that much, but
$5 a week, man.
It was something.
$5 a week. That's what we got.
Yeah.
And do you remember what we used to do on Saturdays? Every Saturday?
I can't recall now.
The Majestic Theater.
Oh, yes.
We used to go to the Majestic Theater every Saturday, 25 cents, to see three movies every Saturday.
Right, three movies, and then they had the cartoon.
Yeah.
The cartoons, and they had the little, you had a little, they gave you a little ticket when you entered the movie theater. You used to run, I can't recall exactly what it was, but you used to run some kind of a race, whether it be with the dogs or whatever, and if you had the winning number, you would win a prize.
Yeah.
They would distribute after the movie was over.
Yeah. Movies back in the day was Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, LaRue.
The Wolfman. Wolfman meets Frankenstein. Lou Abbott and Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello, that's right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, those were the movies back in our day. Always, Audie Murphy, Jesse James, Frank James, the Lone Ranger, Roy Rogers, all of that stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days. Now, Lenny, let me ask you this: we were singers back then too, right? I mean, let's talk to me about your singing experience with me in the group back in those days. What do you remember about that?
Oh, I remember. That comes very, very clear. I think you were the one that actually taught everybody how to sing and stay on their key or stay in their key.
Yeah.
Because you had a very, very good ear for that. And we had our little group, and when we did get together and do it right, the harmonies sound so beautiful. I thought that was what I would have wanted to do for the rest of my life, because I really enjoyed singing. Even today, I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm part of my church choir. But I remember it was you and Bobby Williams, Tommy G.
Yeah.
And myself. And I recall the times that we used to sing in your hallway.
All the time.
Because the sound bouncing off the walls in the hallway sounded so beautiful. And your brother used to stop by on his way out sometimes and hit a couple of tunes with us.
Yeah.
He used to enjoy that.
Yeah.
We used to try to keep him there singing with us, but he said, no, I gotta go.
Yeah.
He sang a few songs with us and but that was one of the things that I really enjoyed. I think that really brought us really close together.
Yeah,
I thought that we were going to become professionals at it.
I know it, man. I know it. Yeah. Everybody back in those days, just like rappers during our day,
today,
wanted
right?
to really, you know, record. And, you know, back in that day, all you had to do was go into a recording studio. You didn't have to have appointment or nothing, man. You go to the recording studio in Manhattan, and you sing. I mean, and if they liked you, you know, they signed you up. That's the way it worked back in those days. But Lenny, we sang in more than one group, man. We had a group between me, you, Bobby, Lenny. I mean, me, you, Bobby, and Tommy.
And then
the Holt Singers.
Oh, yes. You, I... And your two sisters.
That's right.
Yes, I do recall that. We used to sing at church, at the different church ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I enjoyed that as well.
Very good. Yes. Now, we sang the Holt Singers, me, I used to play the piano or play at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you were always good at those different things because you picked up real fast, you know.
Yeah.
It was the best lesson. Yeah.
That's one thing I regretted, that I did not learn to play the piano, man. I took some lessons by ear, what I did not learn, and that's one of my regrets, is that I did not stick with it and learn how to play. My mom sent me to piano school up in Harlem for a little bit. But tell me, okay, after you moved uptown, Lenny, Bobby moved away from the downtown area. We used to go out to Canarsie. You remember that? Going out to Canarsie to meet the girls?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We used to hang out out there.
That's right.
Out there a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Canarsie, yes.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was looking at some pictures the other day of my album, and I found a picture of myself on the bench. I was leaning back. I forgot who took the picture, but it brought back old memories, because that's going back about 60-something years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Long time.
Yeah, you know, we were talking to some girls out there, me, you, and Tommy. The girl I was talking to, his name was Joyce, pretty little girl. Tommy, I think his girlfriend was Gloria. But I remember one day we were out there in Canarsie, and the teenagers came out there. Do you remember that? Frankie Lyman and the teenagers.
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, they came out there for some reason, man.
And
I don't remember exactly what the occasion was, but I do remember that we would go to, I think it was the Paramount Theater on Flatbush and DeKalb Avenue.
Oh, yes.
Who was it?
That was with Alan Freed and all the group people to perform down there.
Absolutely, man.
Right.
Right, yeah, across the street from Juniors. It was Juniors. No, I don't think Juniors was there then. Penny Arcade was across the street from it. But when they would have these rock and roll shows like that, we would have the opportunity to go and participate with that. I remember that was a highlight. And you remember a little bit about Little Anthony and the Imperials, right, Lenny? They were stars back in our day.
Little Anthony. And his parents used to live in the same building that one of my older brothers used to live in. That they used to call the naval houses, I believe it was.
What, the naval houses? Where?
Yes. It was across the street from the Fort Greene Projects, but it was a separate. Separate buildings that were built initially for the naval officers when they came in and they docked at the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
Okay.
They set up these houses for them.
Okay.
And but when the war was over, they sold the houses to the city. No, I'm sorry. They sold it to a private firm, and they in turn renting them out to different people in the area, and they were occupying those houses.
Okay.
And I remember my brother, because he was in the service, he was able to grab in the pop in there, and that's where little Anthony used to live at.
Yeah, I remember when they...
Gordine and his parents, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They think his father was a musician also, and his mother was in the music industry.
Right? Okay. You mean Little Anthony, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I remember when they had a contest at the Willoughby House. Was it Willoughby Housing Project? I mean, Willoughby Center?
Yes, yes. That's it. The Willoughby House Center. Down in the Farragut Project.
No, this was in Fort Greene, wasn't it?
No, the Willoughby Housing Center was where we used to play basketball at.
Yeah, but I
thought they had different functions down there other than the basketball. You may be referring to Pier 67. I think they ran different contests in that school.
When we sang against the Little Anthony.
The Chesters.
Which center did we do that in?
The Willoughby House Center.
Willoughby House in the Farragut Project.
Yeah.
That was in Farragut. I thought it was Fort Greene that we when we did the contest with them.
Yeah, for Farragut album.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you remember there used to be the YMCA down there. We used to also run track down there around the track in the building.
Okay. You mean in you mean in the Willoughby?
Yeah. The track was a big set up the building, right next to the Farragut album.
Okay.
On Sand Street.
Okay. I do remember the track that we used to run around.
Do you remember the George
Hotel up in Brooklyn
Heights? St. George Hotel? Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. We used to go swimming all the time.
All the time, man.
That's where I almost drowned. I'll never forget that.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah. There were three places where we used to go swimming. St. George Hotel.
Sunset Park.
Sunset Park was our park out in Sunset.
Yes.
And then the Brooklyn Tech.
Tech, right.
Remember Brooklyn Tech?
Yes, of course. That was where you had to take a shower before you went to swim, I remember.
You had to go in naked.
Yeah, yes. And then you had to swim naked. You had no shorts on, no bathing suit.
No, yeah.
Or nothing.
Yeah, I remember that, man.
Yes, I remember. And then what stood out in my mind, when you went to took a shower, they actually checked you when you came back. You used to rub your wrist
to see if any
in between your elbows.
That's right. See if any
you
dirt.
You know, the crease in your arm.
Yep.
And if they seen any dirt up, they send you back to the shower to shower up again.
Yeah.
And then they would double check. And if you were clean the second time, then they would pass you and you would go and swim.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Christmas. It was seeming crazy now.
Yeah.
But that was the thing of the day.
Absolutely, man. And we didn't think anything of it either, man.
No,
yeah. Yet. And every now and then we would find ourselves going out to Coney Island. Another thing. We get on that train
spooky
and
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Lenny, that those were days when, you know, the fun was clean, man. You know, we didn't have guns, man. We had cap guns, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Bell bottom pants.
Right, I recall that.
Yeah, man. It was just a totally different lifestyle. We did not have to have the city build community centers and provide recreation for us, because we did our own thing in terms of recreation. You know, stickball, and we played bidwhist on the stoops, man. Played marbles, man, and all of that kind of stuff. You know,
so much fun.
That's
so
exactly much, so right. Clean fun, man.
And it seemed like everybody got along with everybody.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
You know?
One thing I loved about you, though, Lenny, man, you were my protector, brother. I don't know if you consider me to be a little brother of yours, but I always felt safe with you because you looked after me, man. You know, you looked after me. You looked after me, man. And we would get high, brother. I mean, getting high was our second occupation. Playing around was the first. Running girls was the second. But man, did we get high. I was 17 years old, was an alcoholic, man.
Yeah. What was that? I was what, 18, 19, something like that?
Yeah, you had to be up around there. But we used to we used to drink Thunderbird. Remember Thunderbird?
Yeah, Thunderbird and
Sherry.
Sherry Port.
Yeah.
And
Thunderbird.
Night Train.
Yeah. Let me see. There was
the
Thunderbird.
The cheap wine.
Yeah, the cheap wine. Man, what it was Gallo Port Sherry wine.
Right.
Gallo Port Sherry.
Do you remember the time when I had that car and we drove, everything was me, you, Bobby, and Tommy. We drove into Manhattan and we got a flat and we didn't have enough money to fix the flat. So we pulled all our money together and we went to the garage and the guy sold us an inner tube and fixed the flat for us. but he gave us a break. He only took the little change that we had, and he didn't charge us the full amount because we didn't have it, because he didn't like that of us being stuck as kids out there.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah, that stands under my mind. I was only thinking about that the other day.
Yeah.
I was tell somebody about it, because I said, these kids, they run out here and they buy these BMWs and all these different cars today. But they don't realize when those cars break down, they're so expensive to repair.
Yeah. Now, what was the make of the car you had?
I had an old 1950 Oldsmobile, I believe it was.
Okay.
It was black.
Okay.
It was black in color.
1960?
No, but that wasn't my car that broke down. I come to think of it. You don't know who that was? Whose car that belonged to?
Oh.
Your uncle. He used to let us borrow his car. Matt?
Uncle Matthew.
Matthew, yeah. That was Uncle Matthew's car, that's right.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the cars I bought. No, but that was your uncle's car, because he used to let us borrow the car.
Okay, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he used to live on Green Avenue.
Green Avenue, man. And that guy, he was good, though. He was a good guy. Yeah, good to his heart, man.
He
drove us around.
He looked out for the kids.
He did. He stayed drunk. He stayed drunk, man. Good guy.
Yes, he was.
Good guy.
Good heart.
Yeah. Okay, so listen, man. Let me ask you this. In terms of Bernadine, now we're not going to get into a lot of that. Where did you meet Bernadine? Because we were both converted at Doretha Williams' house. And what was that address? It was 151 what?
No, that was 132 North Oxford.
132?
Two, right. 132 North Oxford. On the first floor.
I remember.
We used to speak to them out the back window.
Yeah. Now, let me see. That's what I want to talk about just a little bit, man.
Sarah used to live across the street at 117.
You did?
Sarah.
Oh, okay, remember yeah. Sarah didn't live in the same building that Bernadine lived in?
No. Her and her mom used to live in 117,
okay.
North Oxford.
Wow. I was always I won't say always under the impression, but because you don't remember every detail, I used to think she lived upstairs from mm-hmm. where Bernadine and them lived. No?
No, she lived at 117. You know, I was trying to think of her mother's name. Somebody asked me the other day, and I couldn't think of it to save my life.
Wasn't it Margaret?
No, Sarah's mother name, because her and Brooks are very close.
Very much.
Remember,
so.
They used to call us way back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sarah, her and I think Claude, Uncle Claude used to hang out with her.
Absolutely. Yes, now, Sarah's mother's name now again? I mean, her boyfriend.
Claude,
yeah.
Yeah.
And Bernadine.
Claude was Bernadine's uncle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. And then there was, who was Bernadine's mother's boyfriend? Elijah. Man, you talking about, let me tell you something, man. I, you know, we were young. But man, yeah. Elijah would drink his behind off. Claude would drink his behind off, man. And we were around a lot of that. We were going to Bernie's mom's house,
man. I believe that's why when we started, it was just a normal thing. We thought it was normal.
That's right.
Because everybody else was doing it.
Absolutely.
And the grown-ups didn't say anything about it.
No.
They never said that you shouldn't be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
But of course, they didn't know the extent. How much we were actually drinking.
My mother never knew about it, man. I'm gonna tell you, I was drinking, man. When I was, I mean, you know, we were drinking early on, and the thing about it is, I would come home and go to bed, and me and my brother slept in the same room, and my mother would come in early in the morning to wake us up, and she said, "This old doggone room smell like a liquor barrel," and she used to blame my brother for it, man. But it was me. And he never did call me out on it, man. I tell you.
Oh,
yeah, boy. I tell you, we used to get down with that stuff, bro. I tell you, stuff, man. I mean, it was a Fleshman. I think we used to do Fleshman.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
A little scotch every now and then.
Yeah.
But that Fleshman was a drink because that was the cheapest one.
Yeah, that's right. It was the cheapest one.
Yeah.
Galliport Sherry Fleshman, wine.
Yes.
And then we used to go party uptown. I used to always be the one that booked the parties, man. I mean, not the parties, but the girls. So
yes,
whenever
yes. You were so outgoing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think basically most of us, except for yourself and I think maybe Bobby, but Tommy had a little shy. Was kind of shy. I was kind of shy myself. Yeah.
Bobby was shy too, man. Trust me.
Because I stuttered when I spoke so much, so I didn't want to be out there and be embarrassed. You know, I tried to hold it in a bit.
Yeah, but no, Bobby was shy too. So you know, if I see a girl walking across the street going, you know, I went to Alexander Hamilton Vocational High School, so I'm walking with the boys going to school. And there's a girl across the street on way the opposite direction going to her school. I run across the street, get that phone number, man. You know, I get that phone number and set it up for us, you know, the following week. So we usually had things to do, you know, on weekends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because of that. And you know what, Len, you remember those times we was we used to do each other's hair, man, Conkaline.
Oh, yeah.
Processes,
so
you know.
True. With that J-Bar?
What was that called?
That Conkling stuff in that red and yellow jar.
Right. We used to do each other hair, man. You had to grease
and
the hair.
You didn't take it out in time, it burned so bad. You had to wash that stuff out right away, otherwise it do damage to your scalp.
Yeah. You get a big pus sore on your scalp.
Yeah.
But you know, you had a nice one though, man. You used to keep yours real nice, Lenny, man.
Yeah, but didn't it after a while we started going up to Manhattan to get our hair done?
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah, we used to go to the same place where Lil Anthony and the Imperials used to go.
Yeah.
Get their hair done.
Yeah.
Up on 135th Street.
Okay.
Lenox Avenue, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Manhattan.
That's what was happening, man, back in the day.
Yes. Yes.
Now,
and I think they was only $5.
I don't remember
that time when they used to do that.
I don't remember how much it was. But let me ask you now. Once I left, to go to school.
Yes.
Now you started. Where did you get your first job? Now I know you worked as a ambulance. But what did you do before then?
You remember I used to work at Concord Village Cleaners.
I remember that, man.
I used to get people's clothes cleaned for nothing.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you.
And I used to borrow one of the doorman's cars during the week because he said, as long as you go get me a six-pack, you can go and have some fun with your friends with the car and bring it back before I get off at 11 o'clock.
Wow.
So I used to pick up the car, go get him in the six bag, and then pick you all up, and we used to run out to Canarsie, hang out.
Wow. One thing about you Mortons, man, you guys knew how to work, man. When you worked at their cleaners, and Teddy worked at the candy store, the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, on the corner, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Teddy was a fixture in that store, man.
Al wind up, after he retired, he wind up giving the store to him and A.
Wow.
Yes, right. So
yeah.
So we ran it for a while until we got. I can't remember the circumstance as to why he got rid of it. But I know they kept it for a while.
Man.
It was a good business.
It was.
It was a good spot. It was right across the street from Ripley's store.
Absolutely.
Remember Ripley's?
Yeah.
That was across the street. Yeah.
And you remember Sneeze, the shoeshine guy on the corner there?
Oh, yes. Stands out. Yeah, I used to go there and get my shoe shine all the time because I like the way he used to make the sound with the brushes.
Oh, yeah.
And the rag.
Yeah.
He used to pop it.
Yeah.
Pop, 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 pop. Oh man, that's a skill. Everybody can't do that.
Well, when I went away to school, of course, Lenny, that separated us for many, many, many years, man. But I do remember every time I would come back to visit, my mom and my dad, I would always look you up, man. Every
We go
single
over there on that
time.
continent.
Yeah, I would always look you up,
You
man. That you.
remember that car you gave me? Told me.
Which one? I
A
had a lot.
Chevy, it was a green Chevy, I think it was a 1960 Chevy.
Okay, I don't
That
remember.
you had a you had to do something to the battery to start it. But
Okay.
once it got started, it ran real good.
What was the
Very, very good.
circumstances? What was the circumstances of me giving it to you? Do you remember?
I don't recall. No, you were so to me.
Okay, I did. All
I
right.
think you so to me.
Okay.
You said you probably thought that I needed a car
Yeah, you know, 'cause when I went
than
to
what I was going on.
when I went to college, they would not allow me to bring my car. So that
Oh, I
might
didn't
have
know that. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
that might have been the time that I sold it to you. I don't remember that.
Right.
But you were married to Barbara. I remember that. When I say I remember that, because there were times when I was trying to find you, and did find that you were there with Barbara, and I visited
Right,
you there
right.
sometime. Now, you were working in the medical field. That now, after you did the cleaners, where did you work after that?
Went from the cleaners. I went to do you recall I worked in the drugstore with Frank on Myrtle Avenue?
I do. I do. I do.
Then I worked at Bellevue Hospital for about 3 years.
Okay. Wow.
That's where I met Nathaniel that used to sing with the Imperials. He was working there as well.
Okay.
But he was in the medical field, and I was trying to get him to come over to the psych building because it was paying more money, and for hazardous pay and the differential for working nights. What wasn't paying a lot of money, I figured at least it would be a little something extra,
Now, was that
that would
before? Was that before
help,
he
him and his
became
family.
before he started singing with the Imperials?
No, he had left the group. So
Okay.
that was back in, let me see, I worked at Bellevue from about 62 to about 665. As a matter of fact, like I was there the day when Kennedy was killed.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, November 2020,
Yeah,
663,
what was
I
that?
believe.
What year was that when he got killed, man? 61?
63, I believe it was.
63, okay.
November 23rd,
Yeah.
it was the 663.
Okay. Now, how did you meet Bernadine?
I think you and I were walking through the project one day, going to my house because we used to walk from downtown through the projects to my house. And I can't remember exactly what the circumstance was, but I think her and Sarah must have been sitting on the bench or doing something in the
Okay.
area. And we just stopped and started chatting.
Okay. All
I
right.
guess,
Yeah, so we met them at this. I thought that see, that goes to jail. I thought that you were going with Bernadine for a while before I met Sarah, and that I met Sarah through Bernadine. But you're saying that it may have been at the same time.
Yes, I don't. I'm not 100% sure now,
Okay.
but I believe I believe that we were together one
Okay. It might have been. It might.
because they were really inseparable.
They were. They were.
And when you seen Brendan,
That's
you
right.
seen Sarah,
Just like me and you. Just like me and you, man.
yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very fun,
Yeah. Now, did you sing with me and Mo Maurice Walker?
No, I think it was you. I can't remember what I was doing at that time.
Okay.
But I think it was Julian, Maurice, and a few other guys, that had a little group going, and it seemed like y'all was going somewhere with it.
Yeah,
I thought for sure.
I know
y'all was going to record.
It was lucky. Tommy Herrera, and Billy the bass. Remember that dark skinned tall Billy guy?
Yes.
Me, Billy, Maurice, Tommy Herrera, and we did get a recording. The guy to sign us up. We went to Manhattan, man. The guy heard us. He loved us. He had a recording studio. His name was Bert Keys, and they gave us two songs. He gave us two songs to learn. One was Picnic in Paradise,
and
the other one was The Sun Is Shining Brighter Where You Are. That was kind of a classical song.
Right.
And we learned it, but the Sun Is Shining Brighter Where You Are had off keys. In other words, they were off keys. They weren't straight, you know. And Tommy Herrera was not able to hear it. You hear the thing. I'm trying to teach it to him. And every time we would go to Bert Keys for him to hear us, the guy was off. He was off. They gave us those two songs. We would have been recording them two songs by now, man. But that was one of the things that stopped us. And not shortly after that, I got converted, and gave it up altogether.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna. I'm just gonna run this real quick. Now you started working for EMS, right?
I worked for the New York City Emergency Medical Service.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. You had some real experiences with that, didn't you, Lenny?
Oh, yes. First of all, I must say the job wasn't paying any money. I think it was paying $12,500 a year at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when we were in school in Queens General Hospital, they were teaching the class there. The fellow told us, "Don't give up on this career, because you'll always have a job, because people are going to always get sick and they're going to always need an ambulance." You know?
Yeah.
And but the money, I wasn't thinking about money when I got involved. I wanted to get involved because I remember one time when I got sick, the ambulance driver treated me with such compassion and he was so nice and gentle that I said, this is something that I would like to do myself. I would like to help people. So I went in there with the thought in mind to be able to help the next man, especially when he was at his lowest state or he was injured or what have you, in order to treat him the way that the individuals treat me, that help me as part of my recovery.
Yeah.
And it meant so much to me. So that was the main reason why I got involved. And
yeah.
I had a lot of experience in that area, and I believe that I've helped a lot of people. Maybe I can think of all and in every way, but I know each job that was handled is a different type job, and it's not always to put a bandage on it. It's the idea of what you say to that individual at that particular time that may help to ease his pain or to help him out of that situation.
Now, yeah, didn't you save a life? Somebody had gotten shot or something like that?
Yes. I've handled a lot of shootings. I delivered babies on the job. I've handled homicides. I've been in court to testify in murder trials. You know, the whole nine yards. It was a great experience. And I thank God for it, because it helped, form my life in the area that I'm in.
You're fading out, Lenny. You're fading out.
I said it helped to form my life in the area that I'm in today, and reference to being saved, to being a deacon, and still doing God's work, but in a different field.
Yeah.
Different different area, and I enjoy it, and I'm just happy to be able to help the next man or woman to be able to lead them to Christ, to have a relationship with Christ, in order to feel blessed and be able to pass that blessing on to someone else.
Yeah. Now you had a real drinking problem even when you was working there at the with the EMS. Tell me quickly, because we're running out of time. Tell me how you got converted, Lenny. So you were having difficulties with your, you know, with alcohol, still being able to drive, save lives. You were able to cover it up very well.
Yes.
But tell us how you got saved, man.
Well, you know, when I got saved, I just cried out for help, because I knew that I needed help, and I knew from what I learned and from what experience I've had as a younger man that no one else would be able to help me but Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got on my knees and I prayed and I prayed, God answered prayer. Not only was I was saved, but I wasn't filled.
Uh-huh.
When I got filled with the Holy Spirit was when I went with my aunt one day to her church in Harlem. I can't remember the name of the church now. I was down on my knees on the morning bench praying, and all of a sudden something hit me. The next thing I know, I was up on my feet and I was dancing. I didn't understand or fully understand what the dance was called at that time, but something came over me that it felt like someone had just poured all love into me. It felt like I loved everyone in this church, and I didn't know anyone but my aunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was such a wonderful feeling and such a blessing.
Yeah.
I've never gotten that same feeling again since. Even though I know I love everyone, and it's more a control thing now, but it was such a unique thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why when someone told me that they feel they and they have the Holy Spirit, I understand, because it's the love that the good Lord
absolutely
pours into you.
Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit, I can't find the words.
Well, you know, man, I don't want to take any credit for it, but you missed one important part of that story, man.
I remember,
you and I were talking on the phone, Lenny Morton, you forgot that, when you were going through your bout, your wife had died, you were really into, you know, no, your wife hadn't died at the time, but she was sick, and I led you to Christ on the phone. Do you remember
that?
Yeah, I remember that very, very vividly. And I think when you went to visit your hospital to see your wife once or twice, she noticed the change in you, you know?
Yes. And what a blessing. Yeah. What a blessing.
Yeah.
God has been good to me, because I've been through a lot.
Yeah, you have.
I've had open heart surgery. I've had.
Speak up louder, Lenny.
I said, God has been good to me. I said, I've had open heart surgery. I had a valve replaced. I just recently had to put in another valve, because that other valve lasted 10 years and it was no good.
Mm-hmm.
I was diagnosed with cancer of the lung that had removed part of my right lung.
Mm.
And I'm still here. I'm still kicking, for God is not through with me yet. My purpose is not completely shared. And I'm still around, and I thank God for life each and every day.
Well, that's good, Lenny.
That's what God is.
Yeah.
As a good Lord has been a great blessing to me through my
That's
life.
good.
I lost just about all of my, I lost all my brothers except one, only me and my younger brother, Donald,
Yeah.
and one of my sisters, Margaret, that is still living. Out of the 11 children, there's only three of us left.
Yeah, yeah.
And why he chose to keep me around, I don't know, but I guess, like you told me a long time ago, everyone is born as well with a purpose.
Yeah.
Until that purpose is served, you're not going away.
That's
I don't
right.
care what the devil throws at you.
Absolutely, man.
And I do believe that very firmly.
Yeah.
And I thank God every day for life.
You know? I know you do, Lenny. I know it, man. Well, listen, we got to wind it up, Doc. I want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity. We spent more time than I usually spend in interviews, but there was so much that we have in common that I wanted to share and talk about those things that are so very dear to us. So again, I want to thank you, Lenny. I know you're having a good time at my, let me see, my niece's church.
Yeah,
Marvin Abram, the pastor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have always been a committed person when it comes down to church. I mean, you're a loyal member. And whoever has the joy of getting you as a member is going to have a loyal member down to the very, very end.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, okay, man, we got to go. We got to go. Again, I want to thank you, Lenny, for this. And I hope that this is not the last time.
It won't be. I'll make sure of that.
That's good. Okay. All right. God bless you, my dear brother.
God bless. Love you. And we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.